Have you ever found yourself in a situation that you felt indifferent about? You just didn't care. Maybe it was a job. You began the job. You loved the job. You were excited about it. But as the years went on, as time went on, you began to find yourself indifferent towards that job. You just no longer cared about it. Maybe it was a friendship. You had someone. You had made a new friend. You loved one another, you cared about one another, but things happened, times went on, and before long you found yourself just kind of about that friendship. I hope this isn't the case, but maybe it was your marriage. As time went on, maybe as husband and wife, you began to find yourself not caring about one another anymore, and you became indifferent in that situation. Everyone in this room at some point or another have found themselves probably feeling those emotions in some situation towards some individual or something. We call it apathy. Apathy is defined, it comes to the English language from a Greek word, which means without passion or feeling. Webster defines it as a lack of concern or interest, indifference. And this morning, as we think about that idea of apathy, I want us to talk about how we can fight against it. Because, friends, apathy is a very dangerous emotion. It is a dangerous place to find ourselves, especially spiritually speaking. Albert Einstein said, "The world is a dangerous place to live. Not because people who are evil, it's not because of them," he said, "but because of the people who don't do anything about it." The only thing that is needed for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. Brody Taney, who's a historical fiction writer, said apathy is the glove into which evil slips its hand. And friends, apathy, if we're not careful, it is a mindset that can kill the Lord's church. What stops a Christian from achieving spiritual success? What causes us to lose our motivation to win souls to the cause of Christ? What keeps us from being different from the world that is around us? What makes our worship lifeless and meaningless? Friends, as you look at all of those questions, they can all be answered in one word, and that word is apathy. Jesus said in Luke chapter 9 and verse 62, "No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." Friends, not only will apathy cause us to look back, it'll cause us to stop plowing altogether. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, as Paul is writing to the church at Galatia, he tells them, "Do not grow weary in doing good. For in due season you shall reap if you do not lose heart." Paul says, don't grow weary in doing good. But if we're being honest to ourselves, probably at some point in time in our Christian life, we've done just that. And that weariness has allowed apathy to creep in. And maybe you're sitting in the pew this morning, and that's exactly how you feel. You become indifferent to the Lord's cause. It may be you're sitting there this morning and said, "No, not this morning, but I felt that before." It may be that sometime in the future you begin to feel that way. That's why this morning I want us to learn together how we can combat apathy. We're going to do that by learning five characteristics that are associated with it. If we rid ourselves of the characteristics, then friends, we rid ourselves of apathy. And we can once again be a people with a zeal and a fire for Almighty God. Five things to look at together. Number one, unbelief is the beginning of apathy. Unbelief is the beginning of apathy. The first step in a person becoming apathetic about a particular situation is for that person to not believe in that situation. If I don't believe in a cause, then I will be indifferent towards that cause. I won't care one way or another. I'll give you an example. I go to the mailbox, open the mail, and I have in there some selection of what we call junk mail. Not that it's necessarily junk, but that's how we refer to mail that we didn't ask to come to us. And I flip through that, and we have one for Save the Whales, Adopt a Pet. But then on the third one, it says Cystic Fibrosis. I might open that piece of mail. Why? Well, because my cousin passed away from cystic fibrosis. It's something that I am aware of, and it's something that I care about that cause. You see, if I believe, then I care and I act, right? Y'all, this is yes, this is no, right? Okay, there we go. The same is true when it comes to Christianity. Obviously, everyone in here this morning has some degree of belief. You wouldn't have even walked into the doors if that wasn't the case. But how strong is that belief? You see, there's an inverse relationship between belief and apathy. The greater my belief in something, the less my apathy towards that thing. And the less my belief, the greater the apathy. And so if we're going to rid apathy from us when it comes to living the Christian life, then we've got to strengthen our belief. Think about anything that you strongly believe in. You're not indifferent towards that cause, are you? You think about your Facebook, and I realize not everyone has Facebook, but most of you do. You think about your Facebook posts. What do you post about? Things you care about. We have educators in here. A story comes across your news feeds about education, you're more likely to share that, aren't you? Pet owners that love your pets, a cat video comes across your news feed, you're more likely to share that. You see, if there's something that you believe in, that you feel strongly about, you're more likely to want to share that to others. When we truly believe in the cause of Christ, friends, it'll cause us to hit the share button. We'll want to share that belief with others. When we truly believe that Jesus came, was born of a virgin, and lived a sinless life. When we truly believe that He came, that He died on that cross, and that He rose again the third day. When we truly believe that God is present here this morning with us as we worship Him in spirit and truth. When we truly believe that there is a judgment day coming. That there is a hell to fear and a heaven to gain. And friends, we'll live our lives in faithful service. But we've got to have that belief. So the question becomes then, how do we strengthen our belief? How do we strengthen our faith? You know the passage as well as I do, Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Brethren, we have to study our Bibles. We have to spend time in the Word of God if we're going to strengthen that belief. If we're going to fight off apathy, here's where it starts. Right in that book. Friends, if this morning is the only time throughout the week that you open your Bible, you are starving spiritually. If you treated your daily meals like you treated your Bible, when's the last time you would have eaten before this morning? Some of you are like, I'm going to lose weight. Well, that's a good thing to do physically speaking, but it's not a good thing to do spiritually speaking. Friends, you cannot live off of a diet from God's Word on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. It's not enough. It wouldn't sustain us physically to eat three meals a week, would it? It's not going to sustain us spiritually to do the same thing. Brethren, we've got to spend time in God's Word. If you want to combat apathy this morning, number one, you have to fight against unbelief. Number two, ingratitude is the fuel of apathy. Ingratitude is the fuel of apathy. Just as belief and apathy had this inverse relationship, you know, belief goes up, apathy goes down, the same is true with ingratitude. If we are not thankful for something, then we become indifferent or apathetic towards it. We have no emotion or passion for it. If I begin to become unthankful for all that Micah does for me and for our family, then that will affect my actions and my attitude towards her. Those who I've had the opportunity to do marriage counseling with, if you've ever been in there, you know one of the activities that I have you do is each one of you to keep a book and each day to write down two things that you are thankful about the other person. Something they did, something that they said, or just something in general. But every day you have to write down two things that you are thankful about that other person. And I check the book when you come back and see me the next week, don't I? Why do I do that? Because I don't want you to become indifferent towards one another. Because when we stop being thankful, we start being indifferent. It fuels that apathy. An instance where gratitude and ingratitude affected actions is found in Luke chapter 17. And I invite your attention there. Luke chapter 17, we want to pick up in verse 11. In verse 11, Jesus is going to heal some lepers. And there's something very interesting that takes place in the exchange following that healing. Now it happened that as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, this being Jesus. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. Lepers were required to, as they were approaching a person, to start shouting out, "Unclean, unclean," to let people know to give them a wide berth, to stay away from them so that they would not catch this dreaded disease. And so they stood afar off, but they noticed that it's Jesus. They lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Jesus' fame had spread. People knew that he was able to cleanse this dreaded disease of which there was no known cure. So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. Now notice what Jesus says in verse 17. So Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." Notice the connection that Jesus made. The unthankful, where were they? They were not to be seen, were they? But he says the individual that was thankful, where do we find him? Worshiping and glorifying God. Notice what the text says, with a loud voice. He wanted everyone to hear. You see the difference? There's a difference between those who were thankful and those who were not. When we are truly thankful for all that God has done, friends, make a list. Go home this afternoon, sit down, and just think for a few moments of all that God has done. I mean, we can make the list of the things that apply to all of us. He created us, sustains us, sent His Son for us. His Son died for us, gave us the Bible. You know, we can all make that list. But you each have personal lists. You each have individual lists. Things that maybe apply to you and only you. When we look at that list, how can we help but be thankful to Him? 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. John writes, "In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. He gave up so much for you and for me, for each and every one of us. Friends, how can we not be thankful to Him? When we have that gratitude in our heart, friends, there's no place in there for apathy to grab a foothold. If you want to combat apathy this morning, you have to combat ingratitude. You have to combat unbelief. And then number three, indifference is the attitude of apathy. Indifference is the attitude of apathy. If we don't believe and if we're not thankful, it should be no wonder then that our attitude begins to become indifferent. We just don't care. And friends, that describes a great number of Christians in the world today. Now, I realize we might not say that. If we went around the room this morning and each one of us was asked the question, do you care or not care about Christianity, about the cause of Christ? I have no doubt that every one of us would say, we care. But what does our attitude, what does it say? What do our actions say? Because of indifference, people are lost, they are dying, and they are without hope. Because the ones with the message don't care enough to share it. We become indifferent to opportunities to worship God. We become indifferent to opportunities to serve. You know, there was just the announcement made, the opportunity that we have to serve the football team. We did this for many years back in Alabama with the football team there in Demopolis. It was a great opportunity, as Mr. David said, to speak to a group. We'll have an opportunity to have a short devotional with them before we feed them. It's a great opportunity to speak to a group of folks, to make an impact on a group of folks that we might not otherwise have that opportunity. But here's the truth of the matter. The ones that will take advantage of that opportunity are the same ones that always show up to serve when there's an opportunity to serve. You've heard of the 90-10 rule, I'm sure. 10% of the people do 90% of the work. That's not just true in civic organizations. It's not just true in business organizations. It's true in the church. Shouldn't be, though. But why is that true in the church? Apathy. Indifference. Because people don't really care. Friends, we can't be that way. In Matthew chapter 25, you recall the parable of the talents. This is why this matters. And I need you to get this. Please don't miss it. You remember the parable of the talents? We've talked about that parable. You've heard that parable probably many times. There was a man who was given 5 talents, a man who was given 2 talents, a man who was given 1 talent. A talent was a measure of money. This master gave them to his servants. He left on a trip. That was given to them. It was entrusted in their care. The 5-talent man went to work with his 5 talents. He earned 5 more. 2-talent man, he went to work with his 2, earned 2 more. The 1-talent man did nothing with it. He hid it and just left it there. The master returned and the servants come to give an account to him of what they had done with what he had entrusted to them. 5-talent man said, hey, I gained 5 more. He said, well done, good and faithful servant. 2-talent man said, hey, I gave 2 more. Well done, good and faithful servant. 1-talent man, hey, I took what you gave me, I hid it, I brought it back. You know, you look at this man's attitude and he was somewhat indifferent to what the Lord had given him. The master had entrusted something into his care and he did nothing with it. How'd that work out for him? Matthew chapter 25 and verse 30, and cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. brings an indifferent attitude towards the cause of Christ is a one-way ticket to the gates of hell. We cannot be indifferent to something that means so much. And the truth of the matter is, there is a coming a day when we won't be indifferent. When we stand before our Creator, before Almighty God, there is not a person in this room that will be indifferent on that day. But at that point, will it be too late? Friends, if you want to combat apathy, you have to combat indifference. You have to combat ingratitude. You have to combat unbelief. And number four, inaction is the behavior of attitude. If we don't believe, if we aren't thankful, if we don't care, then obviously we're not going to act. Friends, Christian is not a title. Mr. is a title. Mrs. is a title. Doctor, that can be a title. Christian is not a title. It is something that we are, and it is something that we do. The Bible is filled with references to the fact that we are to be people of action. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10, Solomon says, "Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going." Jesus said that now was the time to work, for the night was coming when no man can work. Hebrews chapter 11 is filled with people who were people of action. And not Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 6. An interesting thing happens. The people begin to build the wall. And it's recorded, "So we built the wall," Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 6, "and the entire wall was joined together up to half its height." Y'all, this was done in record time. It was amazing how quickly they did this feat. How is that possible? The last phrase in the verse, "For the people had a mind to work." You hear people lament a lot. The church isn't growing. The church is losing its young people. The church is this negative thing and that negative thing. All these things are happening. Why are these things happening? Because the people have lost the mind to work. You can put whoever you want up here behind this pulpit. It can be me, it can be Brother Taylor, it can be one of numerous big name preachers in the brotherhood that are known far and wide. But it's the people in the pew that make the difference. Nehemiah couldn't have built that wall by himself. Oh, I guess he could have. But he'd still be working on it right now. It takes all of us working together to accomplish the cause of Christ. We need to study, we need to pray, we need to worship, we need to evangelize, we need to encourage one another. Notice as Paul is reaching the close of his life, as he is describing, if you will, his faithfulness to God, notice what he says in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 7, "I have fought a good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith." Fought, finished, kept, what are they? Action verbs. If you want to combat apathy this morning, you have to combat inaction. Fifth and finally, silence is the result of apathy. silence is the result of apathy. Friends, Christianity is not a silent religion. But too often it's treated that way. You pick the scene at school, at work, out with friends, wherever Christianity comes up. Someone says something that we know is not right. We know we ought to say something, and we don't. And by our silence, we speak loud and clear. Maybe we're afraid. Maybe we're worried. But ultimately, it comes down to apathy. I want to invite your attention to Acts chapter 4 very quickly. Acts chapter 4, we want to pick up in verse 13. In Acts chapter 4, Peter and John, they have been teaching in the temple. Of course, this angered the Jews, the Sadducees and the Pharisees. They have them arrested. They're being brought before the Sanhedrin council. And picking up in verse 13, we're going to go through verse 20. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. Side note real quick. When someone looks at you, when they hear the things that you talk about, when they see your actions, can they conclude that you've been with Jesus? They could about Peter and John. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For indeed that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them, and from now on they speak to no man in this name." Another side note. No matter what you do, some people aren't going to follow Jesus. This has always amazed me. They sit there and say, "Hey, there was a notable miracle that was done here, so maybe we need to listen to what they're saying." No, there was a notable miracle done, so how do we shut them up? Some people, no matter what's shown to them, they're just not going to believe. But does that keep Peter and John from teaching? Let's see. So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." Peter and John said, "We can't keep silent. Even if we wanted to, we can't." It reminded me of the words of Jeremiah. You know, Jeremiah reached a point where he said, "God, I'm done. I'm going to become an innkeeper. That's what I'm going to do." I have a lot of preaching friends, and I don't know why it works this way. And this is not a knock on the insurance agency by any means. But it seems like when my brethren quit preaching, they go into selling insurance. I've known numerous ones that have done that. But evidently for Jeremiah, it wasn't selling insurance, it was an innkeeper. That's what I'm going to do. How'd it work out for you, Jeremiah? Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse 9. "Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. I'm done with it. But his word was in my heart like a burning fire, shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back, and I could not." Brethren, that's what we need. That's the attitude of Peter and John. We can't help but tell others what we've seen and heard. The Christian should not be able to keep the good news in. It should be wanting a bust out of us at the seams. We should want to share it. And friends, we must share it if we want to be faithful to the God who's done so much for us. If you want to combat apathy this morning, you have to combat silence. We need to speak out for the cause of Christ. Think about how the Bible would look if so many of the great men and women who did so many wonderful things instead were afflicted with apathy. What if Noah said, "God, I hear you. I'll get on that ark tomorrow." What if Abraham said, "You know what, God? This whole packing up and going to a land that I don't know, I'm comfortable right here. I'm just going to stay put." What if Esther had said, "You know what? Hey, I've made it to the rank of queen. Who cares if my people are destroyed? I'm going to keep my mouth shut and enjoy right where I'm at." Friends, what if Christ had been indifferent to our lost condition and remained in heaven, never coming to earth, never dying upon the cross, never being resurrected? You know, Satan's figured it out. He's really cunning. Smarter than we give him credit for sometimes. He's figured out that, hey, I'm not going to be able to keep the majority of them coming into the building to worship. I'm not going to be able to keep the majority of them from calling themselves Christians. But instead, what I'll do is I'll let them come in. I'll let them get comfortable. And then that unbelief, that ingratitude, that indifference, that inaction, that silence, that's what I'll get them with. Friend, what if you sat in the pew this morning when the invitation song is sung, knowing your condition but unwilling to act? Cast the shackles of apathy off this morning. The unbelief, the ingratitude, the inaction, the indifference, the silence, cast those things off. Become a Christian if you're not one. Believing that Jesus is the Son of God, turning from sin, confessing that belief, being immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins. You got questions? Let's sit down and study together. I'm convinced that a multitude of people will be eternally lost because of an apathetic attitude. I don't want you to be one of them. If you are a Christian, but you have sin in your life, come back home. What if I sat in the pew this morning while the invitation is being sung? You finish that statement as together we stand and sing.